Look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicle's Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
Hey, Bruce, how are you?
Good, Marty. How's it going?
Well, it's interesting. We do these shows. You and I start in spring training. We go right through the end of the season. And you always say there's 162, there's 39 games to go. And you just say, when is it going to start? When are they going to start the push here? And it seems like there's always the mathematical chance where they just can't get moving.
Yeah, you don't get anywhere playing 500 ball. You just don't. I mean, there's some precedent for it years ago, but, you know, on the real side, the way Arizona and Colorado and the Dodgers look, and you're only playing 500 ball, it's not going to get you anywhere. And there's really no indication that this is going to change. There's been way too many disappointing losses, too much lack of hitting. They just don't seem to quite have it. They're certainly not destitute. They're competitive and they have some great games here and there. But they're 61-62. That's what they are.
Yeah, and it just takes that one hit to break the back of the other team or to bust the game open. And to me, that has been the story of the summer, of not being able to get the hit when they need it.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, it hurts to just not have the kind of the big bopper, you know, the Goldschmidt of the Arenado, the Manny Machado. You know, they're getting out homered really pretty drastically by these teams. The Dodgers have hit like almost 60 more homers than they have, and that hurts after a while. You know, you've got good situational hitting on the team, but you know that can only take you so far in an era where you really need that three-run homer. You need that big RBI guy, and they just haven't had it on a consistent basis.
Now, the other side of the coin, the A's are—what a story they become! Unbelievable, isn't it?
No, it's so fantastic, and it's to me, it's absolutely real. I mean, the one thing you worry about is their starting pitching, but it's been great. You know, the Edwin Jacksons and Brett Andersons are doing a great job, but I mean, you talk about guys like Olson and Chapman and Chris Davis. These guys are absolutely for real. And that game with Houston last night was just a straight up battle all the way through. And, you know, they were playing on even terms, and I just think the character of the team, the youth, the promise, you know, what's ahead of them, is just all terrific and a great Bay Area story.
Yeah, and you know, we mentioned Cahill and Brett Anderson, but what they've done. And again, they're 40-12, whatever, some crazy number. But to win 40 games in today's world, it means you got to go to the bullpen 40 times and bring in those guys. But what he did was now he's got two. He's like got the go team and the orange team. You know what I mean? It's the old LSU Paul Dietzel. I'm before.
We're really going back.
I'm before you on that.
Billy Cannon.
We're into Solly Hemus territory and Billy Cannon. But that's what it is. You know, one night he's got those three, and the next night he's got the other three, and that's the way they're getting around it, because if you didn't do that, you'd wear them out, because this Trevino is starting to wear out, so they do have a formula.
Well, I mean, it's so impressive. It was absolutely a contemporary bit of strategy to bring in Familia and Rodney, you know, and Kelly, along top of on top of Trinan and Trevino. Those are five guys who have closed and can close, you know, as we finish out the season. And like you say, I mean, overworking a bullpen is something that every manager needs to avoid. And when you have the depth, like Boshi had that great depth during the three title years, you know, they didn't have to work a guy every night. And if he did pitch, it was pretty much just one inning. And the A's are lining these guys up. And they all have great stuff in their own right. And it's tough. Don't give them a lead.
No, it's turned. See, he turned into a 5-inning game,
yeah,
and not even a 6-inning game or a 7-inning game. It's now a 5-inning game. Now the other side of the coin is, you trot out five relievers, one of them's not going to have it, and now you're in trouble. So that's the other side of the coin. But stockpiling the closers, I see is their theory, and it's working so far.
Yeah, they might have the most guys who are closer material in the big leagues.
Right.
The Dodgers have one, although it's just a half of one now with Jansen out. They could blow this thing because of this, because they didn't address this the way the A's did. And you got to give the A's credit. They're playing modern-day ball, man, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah, it is. I thought last night's game of the Coliseum was one of the best in Coliseum history.
Mm-hmm.
To win that critical moment and to have the call overturned. Holy, you know, I'll tell you something. You saw the call, I imagine, at the plate. Can't they tell us what's going on? I mean, honestly, you have hundreds of thousands of people watching on TV, listening on the radio. You got 23,000 people in the park. Can't they say, all right, New York has determined the hand was in there, the leg was blocking. You know, can't they just explain this stuff to us?
Yeah. I mean, you wait forever for a guy to do a hand signal.
Really? And it's the most critical part of the game or the season. It could have been a turning point of the season last night.
Yeah, and you know, you hear things about the way these things are judged. You know, is it too inconclusive to overturn the original call, which I thought was the case last night. I didn't think it was absolutely clear cut that he was safe.
No. And
if that's the call, that's the case, then he should have been out because it just wasn't that clear cut. But you know, I understand why Josh Reddick and some of those guys are upset because it's just so vague.
Yeah, it's wrong. Yeah. And then they had the nerve to say, well, maybe Maldonado had too much of the plate as the catcher. Come on.
Well, yeah, I know. He had a little bit of it, but I mean, that's.
Please.
Yeah, please.
Are we playing baseball or are we playing something else?
Yeah,
I mean, really.
There once was a singer named Vera Vague because she never quite knew what she was saying. I think we need her to come out and sing the anthem one of these nights.
Boy, really. Speaking of that, a couple of things this week I just want to touch base with you on. One is the passing of Aretha Franklin. And every time I hear her songs or her voice, it stops me.
Yeah, absolutely. And my mom, who was a very good singer, sang behind my dad's band and had a lot of tremendous knowledge of American blues singing. Used to play her, you know, when I was a little kid or a teenager. And you know, this is stuff I'm hearing in my house. And, of course, I heard a lot of it on my own. But and just a fabulous piano player too. Mm. God, could she play? Mm. That's a titanic loss. But you know, the great thing about music is that it lives on. There's a lot of video of her, and you can experience it in as far as time goes on.
Yeah, that's a good point. Very good. That's a good point. Even more so than even sports, because that's the one single moment. But this one, you have it for minutes at a time or an hour at a time.
Yeah,
they showed
really
a clip.
Settle in.
There was a clip on YouTube of Aretha and Candace Bergen doing a Murphy Brown thing where they're singing together. It was hysterical.
Yeah,
it was. I'm telling you, I just watched it and it just stopped me cold in my tracks. So yeah, I wanted to mention that to you. You wrote a lot about this week about Puig and then the Urania Acuna thing and Hundley, you can give me your thoughts on at least on Acuna and Urania.
Well, the thing about batters getting hit is there's always going to be, as crude as it might sound to some people, there's always going to be a time when guys need to get hit, mostly because of their arrogance, you know, something they've done to really a personal affront to the other team. But being successful does not qualify for getting hit. If a guy's tearing you up, I think, and there was a time where, well, you just drill him, but we're in a different time now. Every game's televised. You see the video over and over again. 16 national columnists are weighing in, you know, Twitter and this and that. And I was amazed to hear how many people in baseball, active players, active managers, former players and managers, just ripping this kid for hitting a guy for being successful. That doesn't fly. That's not acceptable, and he should have got 20 games. He's a starter. He got 6 games. He's out for 1 start. What the hell is that?
Yeah.
I just think that, you know, to say that you can't intentionally hit a guy, that's a little bit strong. I think, you know, guys like Kruko will tell you that there's just a time where, you know, you're up, the team's up 7 runs, and the guy lays down a bunt on you, you know, just where I'm sorry, you're going down next time. Stuff like that. But this is a kid who is just on fire. And lighting up the stadium is really making his statement. And so what, you try to hurt him now? I mean, I just don't get it. With the Puig and Hundley thing, you know, what Hundley did, that happens a lot. You see guys talking about this and that, and usually it's just like, that's it. You know, they'll say what they say their piece, but if a guy flies off the handle over like Puig did, you know, that's worth a suspension. Two games sounds about right. I don't think you bench him for, you know, a week or anything like that, but. And it really wasn't much of a scuffle. The thing to take out of it is that Derek Rodriguez got hurt during the thing.
Yeah, that's a baseball fight. So that brings the next question. And I've had Jack Clark on today and Javi Lopez talking about it. Jack, I didn't get into this point, but I will next time we talk. Should baseball have the rule where, you know, you can't empty the benches and Javi can't run in from the bullpen and Maranta can't chase Javi in and all that kind of stuff and you just let the combatants deal with it?
It sounds good, but it's like if you're in a bar and your buddy gets in a scuffle, do you just sit there? It's like it doesn't matter where you are. There's a macho mentality that takes over when a fight takes place, and that's to go help the guy. Doesn't matter if you're in Nevada and he's in California. I mean, you guys are going to sit there in the bullpen. It's like, what the hell were you guys doing? You know, you could have saved this or that, and it is, I would like to see it. It'd be great if you just let the guys go at it and nobody comes out, but that's not human nature.
No, that's what they do in hockey. Now, of course, they throw the gloves down and then they wrestle around and go on the ice. I don't know how they stand up with the ice skates. But can you imagine if they let, you know, all of a sudden they, you know, the umpire, Angel Hernandez, has got to break it up between Puig and Hundley. And they're actually, you know, I don't even know if they could fight. They probably would just, like, you know, wrestle each other and go fall down, I guess.
Well, every now and then you'd get somebody like Dusty Baker or Ray Knight who could really fight, and you'd see some knockouts, you know. But that's just not going to happen. It's not human nature, especially in a macho mentality like big league sports is, for everybody to just stand around. And hockey's great because they do let it happen, and it's one on one, man. That's it, and to the finish, or they finally break it up after a point, but they let it go. But I don't see that happening in baseball.
No, the only one who comes on the ice is the dentist to put their teeth back in their mouth after getting. And hockey players have no teeth.
They have no teeth. Nobody has any teeth.
No teeth whatsoever. Boy, I'll tell you, is baseball becoming too soft, Bruce? Is this the Twitter world and everything else getting to baseball?
Well, you know, no. When I watch it, I don't think that. You know, I the game still has all the appeal to me that it ever had. But the thing that bothers me the most is analytics, and it's not that the information is bogus or sometimes it can be misleading. It's factual stuff, but it's yesterday. It's not today. You can't base today on yesterday. You can't base today on a trend that you think is going to happen, and all of a sudden it doesn't happen because it's human nature and people do things outside of their, you know, what the one on paper says. They rise to a different level, and to base everything that you think is going to happen on what happened yesterday, I think is a flawed, very flawed process. But it's still a very hard game played by pretty tough guys. They're tough minded guys. They're not fighters, but I don't think there's a lot of things that bother me about it. You know, the launch angle and not hitting fundamentally. But I think most of the stuff that we see is going to be corrected. I don't see the strikeouts and home runs totals skying into the stratosphere for the next 30 years in a row. I think smart hitting will come back. You know, the way they crack down on pitchers, you know, has to be stronger. You know, a six game suspension for a starter like that, I agree. But you know, when you talk about the home plate thing, I agree with you there. It's gotten a little bit soft there. You know, the neighborhood play at second base, where if the guy misses the bag by an inch, you can replay it and take it away from him. There's a lot of stuff like that. But I think on the whole, I don't sit there saying the game's too soft and I'll go watch something else.
All right. Well, the Urania Acuna thing. And Jack Clark said it. I said to Jack, could you tell when the guy was throwing at you? He says, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
He says the release point would be different. You look in his eyes. His eyes would be different.
Yeah.
And you knew it was coming right at you. So maybe that's, you know, maybe they just have to be more concerned about proving it that way than just assuming the guy hit a home run and they're going to hit him.
Yeah, I mean, even Mattingly didn't side with Urania, his own manager. Because it was just that obvious, and that's something that's not acceptable. I mean, You know, Don Drysdale, a pitcher from long ago, a sidearming right-hander, had a great way of, you know, moving guys off the plate with a tailing fastball that came right in. But, you know, the pitch kind of started around the plate and then honed in on him and buzzed him and in on his hands or maybe hit him. But what Arrhenia threw was just a straight-on right at you, no doubt about it. Just a straight fastball to the body, and I don't know. It ticked off a lot of people.
Yeah, there's going to be a reaction to this. I'm telling you, there will be. The way baseball reacts today, there's going to be a longer suspension next time.
Yeah,
And there's going to be less tolerance, you know, for throwing inside, and that's going to be the other part of it.
I don't agree with at all. Because you know, too many guys crowd the plate and dive into pitches, and the pitcher's got to knock them off of there. Now, I think there's ways to do that. The way Arrhenia did it is not the way. Did you see what Ron Gardenhire said? Somebody interviewed him, and he said it ticked him off so much. If he was the guy's manager, his next start he would lead him off.
Well, that's what Jack said. Jack said, you know, you put the pitcher up there once in a while and see how he likes having someone. Yeah. Throw 98 at his arm.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you can't, unless you're Campanaris throwing your bat at Laron Legros. I mean, you can't get back at a pitcher. You know, you don't have that kind of weapon. And the pitcher can just sit there and drill you at will. There are times when that's just not acceptable.
Speaking, one last thing for you. Hunter Strickland is back. What is his future, you think, with the Giants?
That's a good question. He's obviously very hot-headed, and, you know, you talk to him in normal situations. He's very civil, very well-spoken, very likable guy. But we've seen, you know, with the Harper thing and breaking his hand, you know, to let your temper get you to that extent where you hurt not yourself but the team. You know, he's not that young of a guy. Is this who he is? Are we going to see more of this? Because if he does rein it in and actually learns from this and still has the good breaking ball, he can be really effective. You know, he's got a hat like Ray Black didn't have a good curveball at the worst time last night, and it doesn't matter how hard you throw. You got to have that breaking pitch. And Strickland had shown, I think, that he has a pretty damn good slider, which he didn't have when he showed up.
Yeah, so, and if you use – no, you go – if you went Maranta, Strickland, Ray Black.
Oh, yeah.
That's not so bad.
That's not so bad. That's a lot of heat. And you don't have to pitch them every night, so they're fresh.
Yeah.
You know, Dyson in there too. I mean, they've got the potential, and they have had a terrific bullpen. They're not getting enough hitting to make up for, you know, a single mistake in a game.
No, then you have Melanson carrying the candy pack out to the bullpen.
Yeah, sometimes he looks like he's throwing old shoes up there. I'm always amazed he gets anybody out.
See, I thought, you know, the ball really breaks. I'll say this. You know, I was watching him the other day, and, you know, the ball disappears. You know, that curveball against the Dodgers, he got some big outs with the curveball. And every time he got the ball back, he wiped his hand on the back of his neck. So I said, all right, he's throwing some. You know, maybe, why doesn't he? He should, you know.
Yeah, he's hanging fewer of those.
Yeah, the ball's disappeared
early in the season. But I mean, there've been times when it's just, oh my God, how was that ball not hit 1,000 miles? But yeah, he's getting back to where he had been, which is great. And there's a few signs of that. So
I'm
telling
you, the curveball is disappearing. And watch him; he goes to the back of his neck before he throws it.
Mm-hmm. Well, better than having a frying pan on your left hand, I guess.
Oh, goodness. What a baseball! I love it. You know,
I mean, every day we could do this show every day, and there'd be a lot to talk about.
It's so the truth.
Yeah,
the truth, and we haven't even gotten into the races yet. And how about Aaron Nola? If Aaron Nola stays healthy, if Gene Mauk doesn't come back and ruin the Phillies, if Aaron Nola, if they get in, I'm telling you, if they win the division and get in, Aaron Nola can win two games in a playoff.
Yeah, if you see Chris Short or Jim Bunning, look out. That team's in trouble. But yeah, I love what the Phillies and the Braves are doing. I just think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Looks like one of them is going to get in the postseason, and it's great. You know, they're young and exciting, and And they have a lot of things that the Giants don't have, and you have to look at that when you look at the Giants' future. Are they going to be able to come up with guys that are this good and this young and, you know, like all across the diamond? So we'll see how that goes. All but right. Noah's a good one.
Yeah, I love him. Dennis Bennett was the other one.
Yeah.
All right, we'll end on that one. All right, early tomorrow. So we'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Have a good afternoon.
Okay, I'm going to go to bed now to make sure I get up early enough.
Hey, how about me?
Come on. You'll be up to midnight with a damn show for everything.
I'm just staying here tonight. I can see that coming. All right. Have a good afternoon. Thanks, Bruce. All right. Boy, my friend, Bruce Jenkins. More coming up in the Sports Leader.